From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the third day of August 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will be here from Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, too. He'll help us take a look at the cash grain situation. Along the way, I'll update you on what's been happening in the agricultural news for the day. The Secretary of Agriculture will be in the state of Illinois on Monday. I hope to spend most of that day with him, traveling to places like Rochester and Shenandoah and Georgetown. We'll have all the details. And as we wrap up our time together, we'll discuss what's happening in the weather forecast. Mike Tenura will be here. He's from T-Storm in Chicago. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, Public Radio for the Farming World.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Dan Zwicker is now here to take a look at the agricultural commodities and how they traded in Chicago. Hey, Dan, are you still in the state of Illinois? I bet you are after your trip here this week.
No, I'm not. I'm actually in McKinney, Texas. I wanted to be north of Dallas here by 3 o'clock so I could climb the mountain without too many cars. So I'll be able to buzz through Dallas pretty quick here going after I get done with the program here this afternoon.
Well, thank you for coming up. I hope you had a good 3 days and longer than that, actually, but 3 days with the farmers in the Danville, Peoria, and Springfield areas. You started out the week on a high note, and things didn't turn out that way, at least certainly in the bean pit. How did things change and why, do you think?
Well, I think the weather pattern basically changed. I mean, a week ago, you had heat in the Corn Belt. Come Monday morning, the heat just kind of, the hot air kind of got let out of that balloon. Temperatures turned cooler. So that the trade kind of felt that was more favorable or less stressful or no stress. So the beans then begin to kind of crumble under that cooler weather pattern. And now as the weather forecasts have, weather showers have kind of popped up throughout the Corn Belt all week, and we've got rain in the forecast for the next several days. So that's been the key factor here in pressing the soybeans lower. August is the month where bean yields are made or broken, and with the rain forecast and the cooler temperatures, the trade kind of feels that we're probably adding bushels to the soybean crop. Now, when you take a look at corn, now we've had a couple private estimates, the big guns, FC Stone and Informa Economics. Stone came in with a corn number down around 163 bushels. I guess Informa Economics came in with something around 166. So there, I think, kind of lays the groundwork that the trade feels the damage has been done on corn. Rain at this point is probably not going to alter that figure very much. It maybe push it to the upper end of the range versus the lower end of the range. But when you're looking at a corn yield, if those two groups are kind of in that range of 163 to 166, then you're basically declining ending stocks. So overall ending stocks are declining, and when you got ending stocks declining, it's pretty difficult to push prices lower. And I think that's kind of what we saw today. The market was moderately lower early, but by the time the bell rang here at 1:15, we were only slightly lower. Where on the other hand, those private estimates basically were just slightly lower than what USDA's trend line yield was, or what trend line yield USDA has been using of a 48 bushels. And now with the generally more favorable rain activity that's in the forecast for August, the trade kind of feels if we're going to be up in this 47, 48, maybe even grow a little bit, depending upon how the growing season goes out, we're basically going to be adding inventory. We're going to be adding to the carryout. And if we're going to add to the carryout, then the prices are going to have to be reflected with lower values as they try to seek out demand and or discourage production.
So is your thought on the corn that there's time yet for producers really to market that crop? And with soybeans, it depends?
Yeah, I think so. I've got some short-term cycles due in here. It kind of looks like maybe the corn might be, you know, making its low a few days sooner than soybeans. But I think by the time we get to the past the August crop report, what bearishness there is will be priced in. And then I think the market then will be seasonally in position then to recover as we go on into first part of September. As of now, corn probably is on a little stronger footing because we're shrinking ending stock. So we're shrinking overall carryover. That tells you that downside risk may become somewhat minimal. I'm not saying that it's totally eliminated, but we're probably got it zeroed in on 20 to 30 cents, probably the most severe risk as you go into harvest. Soybeans, depending upon how the month of August plays out and where that yields at, and depending upon how much you're building inventory, the downside price risk, you know, is probably in that to be a little deeper if we go ahead and add a lot of bushels. But you got to keep in mind, we still have a growing season that's probably going to last into middle part of September. We've got an awful lot of late crop, especially north of us. So that late crop's going to have favorable weather all the way to the end. And there's that greater chance of possible of an early frost this year. So that could still come back and be a factor as we go down the road a month from now. But for right now, the trade's going to basically take the attitude. They're basically from Missouri. You got to show me. And I think USJ's numbers probably on Thursday, you know, they lay down the first marker. And then the trade's going to argue probably between the August crop report until the final crop report what overall production will be. There's probably acreage changes yet to come on those supply-demand balance sheets, but they may not come until October. But at least we'll have a generally idea when USDA lays down that marker. And then, of course, when September comes around, they'll be able to zero in on that yield probably a little better, Todd.
Well, the good news is that next week, you're on Commodity Week. USDA releases those numbers, the WASDE report, crop production numbers, a week from today. And we'll talk about them with you during the closing market report and again on Commodity Week next week. Hey, just one thing, because I heard it, and nobody else did, I'm almost positive. Actually, I didn't hear it. All I heard when you gave the risk, downside risk number for soybeans, we didn't get the number. All we got was a blank. And I don't know whether you just stopped and didn't give us a number or what.
No, I think I did say upwards of 50 cents, and it could be there you deeper, go. dependent on what kind of rains we get here during the month of August. But you still have, like I said, we still have a lot of late crop north of central Illinois. And we do have a much higher degree of risk of an early frost that could actually clip a lot of those bushels. So this market, at least for now, the trade feels fairly comfortable with corn. It feels like we're building, we're increasing bushels in soybeans, but 2 weeks can make a big difference. They may change their mind on that.
Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again soon, Dan, and thanks for coming up this week, too.
Well, I sure enjoyed seeing all the guys and gals over the last 3 days doing those meetings. And, of course, I spent most of my time with my 96-year-old dad up in the Quad City area, which was real enjoyable.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting. He's out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, the Environmental Protection Agency apparently has decided to reject a proposal by billionaire investor Carl Icahn to overhaul the U.S. biofuels program in a way that shifts the responsibility for blending fuels away from oil refining companies. Icahn, a special advisor to President Donald Trump on regulation, had made the proposal with the support of independent oil refiners that say the obligation to blend fuels cost them millions of dollars. Icahn owns a majority stake in an independent refiner, CVR Energy. Politico first reported the EPA's decision today, citing a senior administration official who said it would be announced within 2 weeks. Well, let's stay in Washington, D.C. The Federal Reserve and USDA are unveiling a new report to showcase how local and regional food systems can help the economies of rural and urban communities, as well as increase access to healthier food and create a more productive workforce. The report is intended to signal that local food is no longer just for foodies, but instead is in high demand by consumers across the country and is ripe for investment and financing. Couple of other notes from D.C. Sam Clovis, the nominee for USDA chief scientist, already was in trouble with Democrats. Writings the former Iowa academic made in 2011 and 2012 on a now-defunct blog during his conservative radio talk show days were unearthed yesterday by CNN via the Internet Archive Wayback Machine. They reveal him calling progressives liars, race traitors, and race traitors, and accusing labor unions of coming out of the communist closet to support socialist Barack Obama. Clovis had already been facing opposition from Democrats and left-leaning advocacy and science groups. They assert that he does not possess the academic credentials legally required for the post of USDA Undersecretary for Research, Education, and Economics. Critics have also attacked him for his climate skepticism. Those controversies aside, Clovis has the backing of some 23 agricultural groups. He is currently USDA's liaison to the White House as someone who has Trump's ear because of his campaign roots. On that note, let's move on to the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture. He's on an RV tour they're calling hashtag Back to Our Roots. The secretary is traveling the Midwest. He'll be in Illinois on Monday for a farm bill discussion near Rochester, where he'll meet with Illinois Agriculture Director Raymond Poe and members of the Illinois Farm Bureau. From there, he'll transit to the Evergreen FS, that's in Shenandoah, north of Bloomington Normal, where they'll talk about fertilizer issues with members of the agricultural community, and he'll round out his day Monday at the Georgetown Fair, where he hopes to offer a few brief remarks at the Open Livestock Show and, of course, tour the fairgrounds there. I'll try to travel along with him all day long. You can follow my Twitter account at Commodity Week to see what the secretary is up to on his Back to Our Roots RV tour in the state of Illinois. And while Purdue will be talking about the farm bill on Monday in Illinois, the House Agriculture Committee has been out and about across the country taking in comments about the next farm bill. While in Texas earlier this week, the chairman of the committee, Michael Conaway, a Republican from Texas, made note that some had been asking him about the president's support for farm country, in particular the Title 10 portions of the farm bill, which the president's skinny budget didn't think so much of. That deals with crop insurance. Conaway believes the president's had a little time to think about that.
I've gotten a couple of anecdotes that the president wants crop insurance left alone, that the budget that he put out, I don't think necessarily reflected his thoughts. And as he's had opportunities to talk with members of Congress and the Senate about what we're doing, what we're trying to get done, he's talked about that may not have been the best approach to for what he wants to get done. His other comments are that he wants a strong farm bill, and looking forward to having the opportunity to work with Sonny Perdue, who has hit the ground running in the best way possible. I mean, he's done a great job. He's making the rounds around the country. He's hearing these same stories, and understanding the importance of it. And I think we'll have a great partner in Sonny Perdue, and I think Sonny's got the presence here on lots of these things. So I would anticipate strong support.
That's Michael Conaway of Texas. He and members of the House Agriculture Committee have been holding farm bill listening sessions around the nation this week. Now, finally, a bill endorsed by President Donald Trump that would change the U.S. immigration system may harm farm labor. The bill by Republican Senators Tom Cotton of Arkansas and David Perdue of Georgia would reduce the number of legal immigrants coming into the United States and emphasize highly educated immigrants over what are regarded as low-skilled laborers, which could be interpreted to mean those in agriculture. The Reforming American Immigration for a Strong Economy, or RAISE Act, does not target the H-2A program, which brings in temporary workers, but the bill would have implications for illegal immigrants who may try to qualify for permanent residency and for the prospect of bringing in workers in the livestock and dairy industries. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, is now here to discuss the cash grain situation. Matt, thanks for being with us. I saw a tweet from you earlier today. If people want to follow you, it's at Chief321. And it's I don't know whether it's going lower or higher, but that for soybeans, pick your number and then make yourself protected.
Well, I mean, essentially, I guess what I was saying is early on, everybody said we're going to 7 or 8 bucks, and then we're going to $12, and then we're going to $8. And, whenever we were back up here at $10 here recently, we talked to producers and said, we don't know for sure what kind of crop we're going to have by any stretch of the imagination, but we've also seen a dollar rally, in a short amount of time. And so it's pretty tough not to at least do something with those prices. And so my point being, where your cost of production is, and if you can make money at normal yields, at $10, there's no need to be bullish at that point.
And then what do you think about this drop in the marketplace for the week, in particular for the soybeans?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the bean market has gotten kicked in the teeth pretty good. Been a way different story for corn and beans this week. A lot of that has to do with a lot of the damage, I think, that's been done in the corn crop is done and over with. Yeah, you can probably save some test weight and maybe save some bushels on some later planted corn, but for the most part, the corn crop is not going to gain a whole lot, whereas the soybean crop with a good August is definitely going to gain some bushels. And so done a lot of technical damage for the most part. You've done some damage, I think, in producers' minds of, what are we going to do now with this crop? It seems like everyone seems handcuffed. But I think at this point, there's probably a more downside. I don't want to get super bearish in here, but we got to look at it from a vantage point of can I make money today? And if 962 beans won't do it for you, then it's probably no reason to get super aggressive pre-harvest. But I think a lot of producers can still make money there. So if I'm not to the sales level that I would like to be at this time, I'd go ahead and make a few sales. And there's always a chance you can buy a cheap call later on if you want to participate.
On the agronomic side, we know soybeans, when she's hot, they'll just sort of go dormant and wait it out. But we've got a lot of cool weather, at least 10 to 14 days, where we won't really have very much heat. Are you worried about that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit concerned about it. We certainly could use a little more heat. It's not just even for the soybeans. There's a lot of later planted corn guys are fairly worried about, got in there in mid to late May to replant corn and still plant full season corn. And some of those guys are saying, I don't want to see the cooler weather. So, there's no question that if we could have warm and wet for this soybean crop, that's exactly what would work and work well. It just doesn't seem like those hotter temperatures are in the cards at this point.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenera is here. He's with T-Storm out of Chicago, Illinois, to take a look at the weather forecast for the growing regions in the United States. Let's stick with the Midwest. Looks like August is going to be pretty cool for our part of the world. What do you think?
Well, you're absolutely right. A lot of these areas will be considerably below normal across the Corn Belt. High temperatures will only be in the 70s with lows in the 50s and even dipping as low as the 40s on occasion. That is way below normal for this time of the year. And that is going to extend this growing season a little bit for corn and soybeans. Typically, this time of the year, if it turns out to be real hot, that just accelerates crop development. But when we have a situation like this where it's very cool, it does the opposite, and it essentially lengthens that growing season. Now, a lot will come down to what happens later on this month. If we stay cool for 1 week and then turn hot for 2 or 3 weeks, well, then all of that would be negated. But the way it looks at this moment, we're going to be pretty cool here for a while. This should last all the way through the middle of the month and maybe even as far out as August 17th or 18th. So we're going to be in a very cool period, and it's going to stay that way for a while.
Do we get rainfall with the cool weather?
There certainly will be a lot of rain, depending on exactly where you're located. The further south you go into the U.S. corn and production, or corn and soybean production region, the more rain you're going to see. So if you're in the Delta into southern Illinois, these areas are probably going to see significant rainfall over the next 10 days. As you head on to the north, there is going to be some rain as well, but there's not as many chances for heavy rain as you head on to the north. By the time we add all of this up over the next 10-day period, we think it will shape up something like this. The northwest third of corn and soybeans should see near or below normal rainfall over the next 10 days. So somewhere in that half inch to 1 inch range across the Dakotas, Minnesota, and then into Iowa and possibly Nebraska. As you head a little bit further to the east from there, into the key areas of Iowa and then over into Illinois and then parts of Missouri, it'll be a little bit wetter, would say 3/4 of an inch to 1.5 inches of rain over the next 10 days. And then as you extend further south and east from there, it gets a little bit wetter yet, say 1 to 3 inches of rain from the Delta through the southeast third of the Corn Belt, including parts of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, and then includes some of the rain that we're going to see here over the next 12 hours. There's some storms firing up now, and those are going to continue to move on through the Corn Belt. So it's a pretty wet forecast, a pretty cool forecast, but the temperature side is a much easier one to talk about because we know it's going to be cool, and we know it's going to be a lot cooler than normal. We're not so sure exactly where every single raindrop will fall, but most everybody will see some rain with, again, the wettest areas to the south and east once you move through the corn and soybean area of the central United States.
Well, cool indeed. I see that Fargo, North Dakota this afternoon is only expected to go to a high of 70 degrees. So we'll keep an eye on it, and thanks for you doing that too. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd. Yeah, we'll talk about it next week, and we'll see what it looks like for the rest of the month.
That's Mike Tenora, of course. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, my University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.